Ysgargeilio Caino sy'n Pictures and Words Past and Present by Ray and Julia Gunn. This is not a history book of the sort that we all read at school, full of facts and figures and accurately researched to the last detail. The aim of this book is to record the human side of the village during the 20th century. It is a collection of picture stories and memories set down on paper, while they and the people who remember them are still here. Some of the pictures are notable not just for the people in them, but also for some of the scenic details behind the people. For example, the old front porch of Aberglesser School, now long gone and all but forgotten. Also the extra row of bungalows in the Forestry Commission camp, demolished many years ago. Likewise, some of the stories and memories may have lost some of their details and pinpoint historical accuracy over the years. However, they are nonetheless still very important for what they tell us about the way life was in the village. This is the essence of what this book is about. As we move forward into the 21st century, modern technology will soon affect everyone's lives. So much so that we will begin to think that the events of the 20th century occurred on another world. Some of the pictures in this book were taken by ourselves. Many, however, are, like the memories, etc., only available and shared here due to the generosity and enthusiasm of all the local people who allowed us to copy and record them. Each picture and story are credited individually with their source. We would like to express our sincerest thanks to them all for making this book possible. The idea started in 1998 when Ray appeared on television in a Sunday magazine programme called Homeland. He was interviewed about his hobby of creating a photographic archive of the village and its surrounding area for posterity. He rather rashly mentioned something about putting the pictures together in a book one day. One thing led to another, and the idea snowballed, and 5 years on, this book is the end result. Somewhere along the way, we realised we would need a computer to help us compile all the pictures and data. Being complete novices with such contraptions, and how to switch the thing on to publish a book with almost 180 pages and about 870 photographs, certainly warmed the air around our ears for a while. We hope you enjoy the following pages as much as we enjoyed putting them together. In years to come, future generations may stumble across them and find this glimpse of a past century in their family's history even more fascinating. Therefore, we would like to dedicate this book to our grandchildren. Ysgargeilio Cainos is a beautiful village situated 4 miles north of Machynlleth on the old Corris Road. It has a population of around 120 people. There were once 2 chapels and a church here, although all 3 are now closed. The sub-post office is also closed, but at the time of writing this, the village shop and public house, the Tafarn Dwynant, are still open for business. Jumping back a couple of 100 years to before AD 1800, there was very little here that could be identified as a small hamlet even. Just north of the bridge over the River Glesyr was Ysgargeilio Grist Mill and the Miller's House, now Mount Pleasant. A little further up the hill was Ysgargeilio Farm, of which now only the outbuildings remain. South of the bridge there was only Cainos Farm, Rhyw Graeddin, Rhyw Awel and the Rheibail. With the arrival of various industries over the succeeding years, the community grew slowly but steadily. An unusual feature, however, of all these various new influences was the way the name of the village kept changing. Even the name Ysgargeilio has had various origins attributed to it. Some say it is a corruption of Ysgar Cyfeiliog, referring to the ridge above Ysgargeiliog Farm, which was reputed to have been the boundary of the ancient kingdom of Cyfeiliog. Such boundaries were apparently marked along ridge tops, Ysgair, rather than valley bottoms. Another simpler, more recent explanation was that before the ridge was planted with trees, there was a large patch of bracken on the hillside, shaped like a cockerel, ceiliog in Welsh. I'll leave you to decide on that one. At other times in the 19th century, the village has been called Pentre Cae Bont when Cae Bont was built, Pentre Caenus, Pentre Acer when Acer Chapel was built, and later Pentre Samaria when the Methodist Chapel was built. These were all popular local names of the time and waxed and waned like such things do. There was one name change, however, that was not popular, did not die out, and has been a subject of much debate ever since. When the first sub-post office and rural sorting office, RSO, was due to be opened in the village, there was a problem with what to call it. As there was already another sub-office in North Wales called Ysgogeiliog on Anglesey, it was decided that to avoid confusion with mail sorting, another name would have to be found for the new office. At the time, the proposed new office was to be situated in a property near to Caenus Farm, and so the name Caenus Post Office and Caenus RSO was chosen and has been adhered to by the post office ever since. So now the village is still called Ysgogeiliog, but with a postal address of Caenus, although with RSOs no longer in operation and even a sub-post office closed, possibly for good, and all mail now sorted by postcode, perhaps we could revert to just the village's proper name. The name Ysgogeiliog was given a boost in the late 19th century when the Corries Railway Company used it for their railway station sign in the village. On the industrial front, the village has had a rich and varied couple of centuries. Prior to 1800, the main industry here was the grist mill, situated where the old Era Quarry slate mill now stands. The outlet from the old water wheel is cut into the river bank by the side door of the present building. A few yards further downstream, you can still see some of the stonework of the old mill buildings. The miller's house is now known as Mount Pleasant. Until reinforcing buttresses were applied to it in the 1970s, there was a second arch under Evans Bridge for the water leads carrying water to the mill from the cutting in the rock, still visible just upstream of the bridge. Soon after 1800, a wool factory was built where the house Mean Avon now stands, next to the Tavern Dwynant. By the 1820s, cottages had sprung up close by to house the weavers, carders and other wool workers, Caer Bont, Acer Cottages, Tysaf Cottages. Behind the wool factory there was a place to wash the wool in the River Glesyr called the Pandy. Henceforth the field had been known as Caer Pandy. In 1850 the village was sufficiently well established for a school to be opened in the end house of Acer Cottages near the bridge, now known as Is y Coed. By the mid-1860s, with the arrival of the railway at Machynlleth, the local woolen trade fell into serious decline. This was due to the now easier importation of cheaper woolen goods mass-produced in the big new mills in Lancashire. However, this decline coincided with a rise in slate quarrying in the area, and the weavers and carders in the village were soon replaced by rock drillers and slate splitters. For the next three quarters of a century, the quarries in the area provided the main source of employment. After the First World War, the slate industry began to grind to a halt. Many of the former slate workers began to find work in the newly formed Forestry Commission. The change from the dusty, dirty, dangerous conditions underground to the healthy, open-air life in the forest must have been a very welcome one for many ex-miners. By the time the last quarry in the village closed in the 1930s, the Forestry Commission had become the new main employer here. In about 1951, the Forestry Commission took over the complex of timber-framed buildings, known locally as the Camp, and converted them into a model village, providing the Commission with offices, accommodation for their employees and later a village hall, a snooker room, a church, a sports field, and a playground for employees' children. It was literally almost a village within the village. Continuing the boom theme of the post-war years in the late 1940s, the old derelict Erre Quarry slate mill buildings were converted by an engineering firm into a factory making hospital equipment. Later, after that firm closed, the factory was reopened by another firm which specialised in refurbishing hospital equipment. That company continued its work there until it too closed in the 1980s. Soon after that, it reopened again, this time occupied by a firm making sofa beds, which at the time of writing is still doing so.